In this episode, we're going to wrap up our review of the Reformation around the edges of Europe. At the beginning of the Reformation, Hungary was ruled by the 10-year-old boy king Louis II. But 10 years later, 1526, the Ottoman Turks defeated the Hungarians and killed him. The Hungarian nobility then elected Ferdinand of the Habsburg line to take the throne. But the Ottomans supported a longtime rival to Ferdinand named John Sigismund as the king. After complex negotiations, Western Hungary was under the Habsburg rule, while much of the larger East, Sigismund was ruler. The Habsburgs were devoted Catholics and took every measure to prevent what they considered the Protestant contamination in Western Hungary. Eastern Hungary was under the Ottomans. It was called Transylvania and enjoyed a measure of autonomy. Eventually, Sigismund, realizing religious division weakened the kingdom, decided that four branches of Christianity would have equal standing: Roman Catholicism, Lutheranism, the Reformed tradition, and Unitarianism. We're going to take a closer look at that when we consider Poland. The Ottomans promoted divisions among Christians precisely because they knew that it would weaken Western Hungary. Whatever Christian group was strongest was opposed by the Ottomans, as they gave support to the weaker elements until they emerged as the leading group, and then the Turkish support would switch. Lutheranism reached Hungary early. There's evidence that Luther's 95 Theses were circulating in Hungary only a year after their original posting in Wittenberg. By 1523, the Habsburgs ordered Lutherans be burned to prevent their spread. A few years later, Zwingli's teachings also entered the scene, and similar measures were taken against them. Though Ottoman rule was harsh and atrocities were committed against all Christians, it was in the territories occupied by the Ottomans that Protestantism grew most rapidly. Hungarians preferred the Reformed tradition coming out of Switzerland to the church government advocated in Lutheranism. They had already suffered under a highly centralized system. In the Reformed tradition, pastors and laity shared authority. This decentralized form of church government made it more difficult for Ottoman authorities to exert pressure on church leaders. Ottoman authorities accepted the appointment of a parish priest on the condition that the congregation pay if the priest was arrested for any reason whatsoever. Well, priests were often arrested and then freed because a bribe would be paid. Both Habsburgs and Ottomans tried to prevent the spread of what they called heresy by means of the printing press. In 1483, long before the Reformation, the Sultan issued a decree condemning printers to have their hands cut off. Now the Habsburg King Ferdinand issued a similar ruling, except that instead of having their hands amputated, they were drowned. But that didn't stop the circulation of Protestant books. They were printed in the vernacular, climaxing in the publication of the Caroli Bible in 1590 and the Visili Bible in 1607, which played a role similar to that of Luther's German Bible. By 1600, as many as 80% of Hungarians were Protestant. And then conditions changed. Early in the 17th century, Ottoman power waned, and Transylvania, supported by Hungarian nationalists, clashed with the Habsburgs to the west. The conflict was settled by the Treaty of Vienna, granting equal rights to both Catholics and Protestants. But the Thirty Years' War, in which Transylvania opposed the Habsburgs and their allies, brought devastation to the country. Even after the war, the conflict among the Habsburgs and the Ottomans continued. The Habsburgs eventually gained the upper hand in the Peace of Karlovitz in 1699. It gave them control over all of Hungary, a control that they retained until 1918 and the end of World War I. In Hungary, as elsewhere, the Habsburgs imposed violent anti-Protestant measures, and eventually the country became Catholic. And we're going to end our journey of the Reformation around the edges with a look at Poland. When Luther posted his theses on that castle church door in Wittenberg, there was already in Western Poland a growing number of the followers of the pre-reformer Jan Hus. Known collectively as the Hussites, they fled the difficulties that had followed the martyrdom of Hus in their homeland of Bohemia. They were amped by the prolific work of the German monk. The Poles, however, had long been in conflict with the Germans and distrusted anything coming from such a source, so Lutheranism did spread, but slowly. When Calvinism made its way to Poland, Protestantism as a whole picked up steam. Now, the king at that time had the same name as the king of Hungary, Sigismund. This was Sigismund I. He vehemently opposed all Protestant doctrine. But by the middle of the 16th century, Calvinism enjoyed a measure of support from Sigismund II, who even corresponded with John Calvin. The leader of the Calvinist movement in Poland was Jan Laski, a nobleman with connections to a wide circle of people of Reformed leanings, including Melanchthon and Erasmus. Laski purchased Erasmus's whole library. Now, exiled from Poland for being a Calvinist, he was called back by the nobility who'd come to favor the Reformed faith. Laski translated the Bible into Polish and worked for a meeting of the minds between Calvinists and Lutherans. His efforts led to the Synod of Sandomir in 1570, unfortunately not till a decade after his death. The Polish government followed a policy of greater religious tolerance than most of Europe. A large number of people, mostly Jews and Christians of various faiths, sought refuge there. Among these was Faustus Socinius, who denied the doctrine of the Trinity, launching a group known as the Unitarians. His views were expressed in 1605 in what was called the Rakovian Catechism. It was authored by two of Socinius's students. This document argued that only the Father is God, that Jesus is not divine, but purely human, and that the Holy Spirit is really just a way of referring to God's power and presence. All that continues to frame the beliefs of Unitarians to this day. Now, throughout most of the 16th century and well into the 17th, Protestantism, as affirmed at the Synod of Sandomir, had a growing number of followers, as also did the Unitarians. But as the national identity of Poland developed in contrast to the Russian Orthodox to the east and the German Lutheran west, that identity became increasingly Roman Catholic, so that by the 20th century, Poland was one of the most Catholic nations in all of Europe. This brief review of the Reformation around the edges of Europe, it makes clear that within just a few decades of Martin Luther, the ideas of Protestant theology had covered the continent and caused large-scale upheaval there. What we haven't considered yet is the impact of the Reformation even further east, and we're going to save that for a later episode. So, what's up for our next steps in the history of the Christian Church here on the Enduring Word YouTube channel? Well, now we're going to move into what's called the modern era. And we're going to take a look at how an intellectual child of the Renaissance, known as the Enlightenment, became a massive challenge to the church. So buckle up, because we're about to look at the origins of the intellectual climate that has produced the world that we now inhabit.